You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027. This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, another interesting day in the markets, chock full of events. U.S. private employers laid off a record 20.2 million workers in April. And we saw a real mixed bag in markets today. Aussie shares ending in the red this morning, while Chinese and Hong Kong markets gained. Over in Europe, we saw France's CAC and Germany's DAX down as European economic news is really downbeat, while the U.K. Ended in the green. And we ended the day firmer over 1% today. So lots to talk about with Wayne McCurry, portfolio manager at F&B Wealth and Investments, and Murray Gunn, Head of Global Research at Elliott Wave International. Evening, chaps. Wayne, last week you said the market looked a little bit overextended, and we've had a slight pullback, but not much. Is the economic reckoning still ahead, do you think?
Look, unfortunately, I think we still, not unfortunately, we are definitively going to get more bad economic news. We haven't really started to get it yet. And whether the market can actually sustain that, given the very, very rapid rise we've seen, and quite a big rise we've seen off the base, you'll have to evaluate that. I'm a little bit worried that it's too much too soon from the share market, and we'll see another movement down. Whether we go back to previous lows or not, I just don't know. But I think it's just too much too soon, because we are truly going to be bombarded with devastating economic news.
Murray, what's your take on that question?
Well, for us, you know, reopening the economies has to be done at some point, of course, but it's not going to be plain sailing. You know, look, we look at the markets completely differently from other people, because for us, it's the stock market that actually leads the economy, not the other way around, as most people tend to think. So, you know, what we're looking at now is a situation where there have been bounces in stock markets, and that in itself is encouraging policymakers to consider reopening the economy. But our analysis is that these bounces are bear market rallies, and so at least one more wave down in stock markets to below the March lows is very probable. The question is, of course, what news flow will accompany those declines, and it may very well be, unfortunately, a secondary spike in virus cases in Europe and the US. For us, the S&P 500 may have already topped out at last week's high of 29.54. And looking at the domestic market, the top 40 faces stiff resistance between 47 and 48,000.
And Wayne, looking at what news flow could be tilting the market at the moment, there were Fed comments overnight that the US economy would need more government assistance and that the central bank's efforts are very much an experiment, to quote you. Not exactly filling the market with confidence, that.
No, because look, we've seen the Fed come in before in 2008, really. That was the first time they came in and printed money to support the market. And I heard a comment today, I can't verify it, but that there's been more cash injections now than what we saw in 2008. But it is still, by and large, experimental. I mean, we don't know what the true cost or the effect is going to be of this degree of free money and effectively zero, and in some cases, negative interest rates. We actually don't know what the end result is going to be, whether that's 10 or 20 or 50 years' time, with all this money printing. You know, will it debase money fundamentally? It is an experiment, and it has been for 10 years, quite frankly.
It really has been a very long monetary experiment, and we're going to have to wait and see what the net result is. I'm going to be chatting to Kirby Lacrungi a little bit later on about the spectre of deflation, and that always worries me, because if we see deflationary environments, well, consumers don't want to buy a new car today if they think it's going to be cheaper in 6 months' time, and that becomes reinforcing. We've got Japan to look at for that, but I want to stay in Europe for a while longer, Murray, and it looks like, I'm saying this rather facetiously, because the UK is still linked to what goes on in Europe, but it looks like the UK got out just in time. Europe really looks a mess right now. The European Union's economy is set to shrink by 7.4% this year. Investment is collapsing, unemployment rates, debts soaring, deficits ballooning. It's really brutal at the moment. And we've got the Germans saying that they are not going to foot the coronavirus recovery bill here. What do you make of it all?
Well, for us, it's all part of the negative trend in social mood that's been in Europe really for 20 years. I mean, if you look at the facts, it was 20 years ago that the European Stock Market Index actually topped out as a broad index. So Europe's been in a bear market for 20 years, and a bear market is driven by increasingly angry people. And so, you know, this idea that the European Constitutional Court, the German Constitutional Court is pushing back against the ECB is very consistent with that. And we would suggest that the European Union, given this negative trend in social mood, is in grave danger of breaking up at some point over the next few months or years.
And it really was preceded by that historic Brexit referendum as well. The writing did seem to be on the wall. Speaking of the German Central Bank, I see, Wayne, that the German government is providing just over 100 million rand to support the conversion of a VW plant down in PE to an overflow medical facility, 4,000 beds, funds for PPE for staff at regional tertiary hospitals. So a bit of good news here in what seems to be an ocean of very bad news at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, good news. No mistake, the ocean of bad news hasn't reached its high tide mark yet. It's still plenty more bad news to come from the economy and from the company front. It only just started. I mean, new car sales in South Africa and worldwide are down 99%.
Oh,
you know, it's only just starting.
And this at a time when, I mean, we have, through our economic model, chosen to pick winners. A lot of very smart people said it's not the way to go about doing things. We did that. We supported our automotive industry through various development programs, automotive industry development program, the latest one. And the problem is you put all your eggs in that basket, and now all of a sudden all of those eggs might be breaking before your very eyes. And we see it all over the place, Wayne. There's the Comair news yesterday going into business rescue. Clearly Bidvest doesn't want to be throwing more cash into that asset. And one has to ask the question, are we going to have any airlines left to do the Cape Town-Joburg trip when we get down to level one?
Oh, there will definitely be, because if you can make money, someone will put an aeroplane in the sky and fly it. Might not be Comair, definitely won't be SAA or Air Link, but it's Express. But someone will, because, I mean, and that's something we mustn't forget. If a business is viable under normal economic circumstances, that business will open again, maybe not under the current owners. But if there's money to be made and you've got a viable business, the capital will be there. Surprising how capitalism works is if there's money to be made and a viable business to be established, it gets established and it gets reopened. So it might not. So there will be aeroplanes. As long as you can make money flying them, there will be aeroplanes. And there will be restaurants. It might not be under the current owners, but they will open up. So in other words, the lockdown will be viable again after the lockdown, but maybe not under the current owners and maybe under the restructured debt. So that's what Comair's doing. They're saying, guys, we can't survive where we are now. Instead of negotiating with 300 different people, we're just going to negotiate once with everyone and we're going into business.
Yeah, put up a shield. Absolutely, put up a shield. And speaking of Comair and transport and whether or not we're going to be flying or driving around, I see Sasol up another 4.5% today. And that's after news overnight that it's facing a massive court case over in the US. Investors accusing the company of misleading them about the mismanagement of that Lake Charles ethane cracker project, secured a lead plaintiff for their New York Federal District Court suit. David Conn, who's an investor who has an unfortunate surname, it's C-O-H-N, he allegedly lost more than $71,000 when the truth about Sasol's project came out. He's going to be leading the proposed class over there. So more headaches for Sasol. The share price brushing that news off largely, Murray, though, on a day where we have seen oil come back quite a lot from the sell-off at the back end of April into negative territory on those futures contracts. But the oil market still is another one of those markets that's telling you there is just no demand in this economy, and in a situation where there's no demand for your products, well, prices are going to remain on the deck. What's your outlook for Sasol and for oil from here?
Yes, that's absolutely right. It's all part of the deflationary process. The interesting thing for us is in the Sasol case is that it seems to be a classic case of a bear market uncovering scandals. So your listeners can find in socioeconomics.net much evidence that corporate wrongdoings in mismanagement are ignored during bull markets when the shares are being driven higher by a positive social mood. And the scandals really only come to light in bear markets when the shares have been driven down by a disgruntled mood. So Sasol shares were already down by nearly 50% from the 2018 high into the start of this year. And so conditions were ripe for angry shareholders to seek to allege impropriety. And it's also worth noting that the company has been carrying a lot of debt, and in a deflationary period, debt is an increasingly massive burden, which your listeners can also read about at deflation.com.
And, well, when we look at this, Wayne, I think it's the Sasol story is certainly a story where previous managers made some very questionable decisions. They have gone. They've long ridden off into the sunset with their saddlebags bulging. So they're not the ones who are going to be on the hook here.
You know, there was the intentional, or did something happen? Did management in the interaction with the market deliberately lie? I mean, I was at a lunch with the previous management of Sasol, the top management, and they stated emphatically that we've accounted for everything, there's nothing more to come, there's no more skeletons, there's nothing, don't worry. And then, you know, a year later, as the year transpired, all the skeletons came out. But did they intentionally, knowingly mislead? So this could last forever. But just in case people don't understand, the amount of money that Sasol has wasted on Lake Charles is not quite as big, but it's in the same ballpark as the amount of money we need as a country to sort out Eskom.
Oh, it really hurts when you put it like that, Wayne. Did you have to go and do that? Now, I want to end off with a bit of a bright spot in today's black market. Investors buying back South African bonds at the moment. So shrugging off two credit downgrades, the yawning budget deficit, and the ejection from the World Government Bond Index, the WGBI. What do you make of that?
Well, look, there's a classic saying, no matter what the circumstances are, positive or negative, there is a price for everything. And obviously, 11 or 12 on our yield was the price that took all the bad news into account.
Well, it certainly does in an environment where you can borrow for around a percent in dollars and then go and get, with our inflation rates at around 3.5-4% real returns in excess of 5+, it certainly is very alluring indeed. Wayne McCurry, Portfolio Manager at F&B Wealth and Investments, and Murray Gunn, Head of Global Research at Elliott Wave International, with your view from the market.